In 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us in chapter 13, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 13, 11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. And there's the command, be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So he tells us to be of good comfort. That's his commandment, just like to be perfect. He wants us to be of good comfort. That's God's will for our lives. It is not the will of God for our lives never to have problems. That's not his will. It takes friction to have movement. If you have no friction, you're not going anywhere. And so there are going to be troubles. There are going to be heat. There's going to be problems. It's not God's will for everything to be perfectly calm in our lives all the time. That's what heaven's for. This is life, man. This is not heaven. So the Bible tells us to be of good comfort in spite of those things. It's his will. We can have comfort no matter what's going on. And I'm acutely aware that when you talk to an audience of people, there are people that have had loved ones die. There are people that have serious diseases and physical problems. There are people that have all types of other troubles that maybe we wouldn't even want to talk about, consequences of sin to live with, family issues and problems that they cannot control. There are all types of things in our lives that cause us to have a great need of comfort. But everybody in here needs to be comforted. And now, don't do this. Genesis 27, Esau needed to be comforted because you know what happened to him? He missed God's blessing. Can I tell you what? If you miss the blessing of God, you're going to miss out on the best that God had for your life, and it's going to end in tears. And that's what happens in Esau's life. Esau makes wrong choices. Instead of wanting God, he wants the flesh. He wants what he wants. And so in bitter tears, he loses the blessing of God and the blessing of his father. And he's just crying here. He's upset about it. He's weeping. You see that in the end of verse 38. Esau lifted up his voice and wept. But you do understand that his pain here is because of his own issues. But the Bible tells us as he's weeping that he's going to try to find some comfort for his sorrow. And drop down in verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. What words? The words of verse 41. The days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Now, why did he say that? Look at the end of middle of verse 42. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth what? Do you see that in your Bible? Doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. You know how he got comfort in his life? He's going to get back at the people that did him wrong. What made the tears go away in Esau's life wasn't God, but was his vengeance to get back at someone else. That's a bad choice. And that's not real comfort. You know, there's some people that try to get comfort from a bottle. Some people try to get comfort from some other type of drug or some other type of thing in the world, and that won't give you comfort. You can try that, and maybe it'll help for a little while, but it's not a true source of comfort. Getting back at someone, but anyway, God wants us to be comforted, but not in the wrong way, in the right way. All right, the first thing I want you to look at is you were in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about comfort probably more than any other place in the Bible over and over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, comforting yourselves in the Lord. How do I do that? 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, look at it, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. The Bible says in these verses about God being the God of all comfort, who comforts us. He says that over and over in this passage. But the first thing I want to start about how to comfort yourself in the Lord is you must remember, it's something in your mind, you must remember that God is good and that there is a purpose for the trouble you're going through. Look how this text starts with all these comforts and consolations. You see verse 3? How does it start in verse 3? It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, as much as he endured, he never got tired of blessing the Lord. He never got tired of thanking God. He never got over the goodness of God. You know, the remembering the goodness of God and the blessing and just blessing God and rejoicing in trouble is a way to help your heart to be comforted, to remind yourself that God's good and blessed be God. I'm not the one that deserves the blessing. God is the one that deserves the blessing. He deserves to be blessed. I don't deserve to be blessed. I'm a sinner. Sometimes the source of some of our great despondency is because we've just had too high of opinion of what we think we deserve in life. You know, sinners don't deserve a whole lot. I can list a few in the Bible that they're none of them good. But God, blessed be God. Isn't that what Job said? He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What do I do to comfort myself? Well, just start praising the Lord. Now, mind you, you're not going to praise the Lord in the time of trouble if you've not learned to praise Him when you don't have it. You know, some Christians never learn to bless God. They never learn to praise God. They never learn to rejoice in the Lord always. That's something you need to practice. You need to practice it. Practice it privately, praising Him and thanking Him. If you're embarrassed about it and you don't want anybody here, just go out in the woods and start shouting, thanking God and praising God. Nobody will even see you there. Nobody will even care. You say, well, how am I going to do that? So when you get down and out, you can still remember that God is good and you'll be in the practice to go ahead and praise Him and to bless His holy name. Because the Bible says He has done all things well. He does all things well. I don't do things well, but He's done all things well. And He daily loads me with benefits. That's Psalm 68, verse 19. And God has blessed my life in spite of the trouble that I'm going through, and I've got to remember to bless the Lord in the midst of the trouble. And I tell you what, and the more we'll bless the Lord, the more that comfort will start edging to our hearts. But the more we are despondent and the more we complain or mull in our sorrows, the comfort's going to be farther and farther away. Just praise the Lord. I've said it before, praise Him on credit. You do everything else on credit. You don't feel like it, do it anyway. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. I've told you that story, I think I have, of that landlord, the Sutek family, our co-workers in Romania when we were there as missionaries. The landlord stole a bunch of money from them and they had to leave. And he was driving down the road and he was just so frustrated, he didn't know what to do. And he, you know, missionaries, they don't have a whole pot full of money. It was just awful. He had to move all of his stuff so fast. He didn't know what to do. He just rolled. I wasn't with him, but he rolled down the, I don't remember being with him, but I have Alzheimer's, so I can't tell me. He rolled down the window, and as he was driving down the road from, he just stuck his hat and said, well, praise God, hallelujah. He just started praising the Lord. You say, what good does that do? I think it helped him. I think he got a little help out of that. It better do that and start screaming at everybody. Blessed be God. You ought to notice how many times that little phrase in the Bible. The Bible tells us that over and over again. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If everything's going wrong here, you still got a whole bunch of blessings somewhere else. You've got blessings on the inside. You've got blessings from the Lord. 1 Peter 1 talked about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. who, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. If you need comfort, well, bless the Lord. And I see in this text as well. Remember that there's a purpose for why this is coming in your life. You know, Paul says this. He said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, look at it, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And all the rest of this text, Paul's talking about, you know, the reason I got comfort in my life is so I can help you. You know, whatever we're going through, God's done in our lives so that we can be a better minister and we can help somebody else. In chapter 4 of this book, he says, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, there are too many people that you need to help. You know why we go through stuff? We go through stuff because then we can help other people that are going through stuff. And we can let them know that Jesus is real. If Jesus is just real, amen, when the bank account's good and all the kids are well and everything's doing all right, that's not the litmus test of the Christian life. The litmus test of is the fiery furnace and the cross life. But he's real there too. Why am I going through? I don't know. There's a whole lot of things God's done I don't have any idea about. But maybe it is to give us a bigger ministry. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, we're not going to faint not. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. He said, all these things, man, you talk about needing comfort. This brother needed comfort. He said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we're troubled on every side. Now, I know sometimes you think that, but you're not troubled on every side. The mercy and grace of God's kept that away from you because you probably couldn't handle that. You may have trouble on a lot of sides. You don't have it on every side. But he was troubled on every side. Yet what? Not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What I'm going through because I want Jesus' life and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the Spirit of God to be shown through my life. And that can't happen when everything's just good. He said in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Look at it. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. That's some trouble. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day for our light affliction. You say, how in the world can I look at my affliction? You have that kind of trouble. How are you going to say my light affliction? Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along the road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Just sing. He said it's a light affliction. This man got his head cut off for God. This man, I don't know what happened with his family. He said, I better not get into that, but he didn't have a family. Or he lost it, or something happened. He's all by himself. People leave him. Beaten, bruised, hated. Arrested, thrown in prison. Won't you spend about 3 years in prison and see how much you got to be thankful for? And here's a guy that says, my light affliction. I think he found out something about the comfort of God. His problems didn't go away, but God helped him with the burden. For which cause we faint not, he said in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You got to remember, look, everything has come to pass. It's going to come to leave. It's not going to stay. Amen. Worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants you to look somewhere else. Don't complain. You will never be comforted complaining. The Bible says, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins. David had a lot of trouble, and he just said, well, just let him curse. Maybe I deserve it. What an attitude. Just remember God's good, and there's a purpose for it. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. I'll give you number 2. How do I comfort myself in the Lord? Well, bless the Lord. Just bless his name. They told that, they asked that to the children of Israel in the wilderness, you know. How do you sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? Why don't you just hang your harps on the willows and just forget about praising God? It's so hard for you. How are you going to do it in Babylon? How are you going to do it, Daniel? How are you going to be happy in the Lord and praise God when your mom and dad's dead and everybody's dead and you're in a heathen temple and they're making you live a heathen life and they make you a eunuch? Go study that out a while. You talk about somebody that needed some comfort? Yeah. You know what Daniel does in his life? He just gets on his face and praises God, and thanks God, and starts confessing his sins. He confessed sins he didn't even do. He confessed other people's sins. Remember God. And remember there's a purpose. I can see Daniel, amen. I'm waiting to meet that brother. Put my hand in his hand and say, thank you for going through the trouble. Thank you for staying true to God. The whole world got a witness because Daniel stayed true to God in the trouble. Hebrews chapter 6. How do I comfort myself in the Lord, preacher? That was the question in the box. Verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God said, you know, you need a strong consolation, you need a refuge, you need some help, you need some hope. Run to your anchor. Run to your high priest. Go to your place of refuge and find strength and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4. Pray. Seek God in prayer. God's promises rest, or God's comfort rests in his promises that he's there. He said in this same book in chapter 13 verse 5, he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 139, if he made your bed in hell, he's still there. Amen. You said, preacher, I'm living in hell. Well, God's there with you. Preacher, this is just hell on earth. Well, Jesus is there with you. Enjoy the fellowship. You say, how am I going to do that? Well, the presence of Jesus Christ is a whole lot more important than everything going terrible in my life. He's my anchor. He's my refuge. Talk to him about it. Have faith in God. And understand that you have hope. Don't ever lose hope. Run to the refuge. This is the second point. Run to your refuge and don't give up hope. He says to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have. You've always got hope in the Lord. You know why? Because the Bible says that you're headed to a place of comfort. You remember the rich man's story? What an awful contrast between a man lifting his eyes up in hell and torments. And the other person, the Bible said, remember, he's in paradise. You know what the Bible said about Lazarus? He's comforted. You know, as hard as your life gets, you're headed, if you're a child of God, you've got a hope because you're headed to a place where all of your eternity you're going to be comforted. We ought to be able to get through it, put up with it, when we know we're going to have a whole eternity of God just comforting our hearts and the winds of heaven blowing on our soul. And the peace and joy of God sweeping across our eternity forever and ever. We're just in a place of comfort. What do I do? How do I comfort myself? Well, run to the refuge and don't give up hope. What else, preacher? Number 3, would you get Genesis chapter 37 and Psalm 77? And I know you can do it. I got confidence. And get Jeremiah 31 because I want to read all these at the same time. And this is an important one. Well, all of them are important. I read this once, I read this twice, I read this a third time, and I said, you know, I think this is important in our need of comfort in our lives. Genesis 37, Psalm 77, Jeremiah 31. You ready? Genesis 37, verse 35. Now, this is the death of, or at least Jacob thinks Joseph is dead. The report is that this son you love so much is dead. And he's just tore up. His life's over. Genesis 37, verse 35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to, what's that word? To comfort him. Look at it. Look at it. But he refused to be comforted. Do you see that? Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Look at it. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Think about that. He said, my soul refused to be comforted. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, the Bible says in verse 15. Jeremiah 31 and verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah. This is also quoted in the Gospels. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children. Do you know what that's about? That's about Herod killing all those babies. You think somebody needs some help there? You think a mother needs some help right there? Rahel weeping for her children. Look at it. Refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. But look what God said to her. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. The third thing I want to tell you about how to comfort yourself in the Lord, you've got to quit refusing to be comforted. You know, you can get so troubled that you don't want peace anymore. You can get so despondent in your soul that you don't even want the grace and the mercy of God to take that away, because almost like you're holding on to certain things by holding on to the grief. Does that make some weird kind of sense? Here's somebody that lost somebody. Jacob did. The children of Israel did, with their babies being killed. The psalmist, whatever he went through, he was all night crying about it, and he just didn't want to let it go. And there is a choice in our will where we can either accept God's comfort or we can refuse God's comfort. Sometimes we're not comforted, not because God doesn't offer it, because we don't want it. And I'm not saying that in a hateful way to God. I'm just saying, I just want to stay in this grief. I just want to keep crying the tears. You say, why would anybody want to do that? Well, when you've lost somebody, you don't want to let them go. Or you put your heart on something, and now it's destroyed, and you had these ideals or these thoughts and now they're gone. And sometimes people refuse to be comforted because they're holding on to everything and God's comfort is there and they're saying no. Here's the family around trying to comfort, and I don't want to be comforted. I don't want God to help me. I want to sit here. I want to lay here in my despondency. I want to just stay this way. And if you want to comfort yourself in the Lord, you have got to stop refusing the comfort. That's something on the inside of you. Let God help you. Let God take the burden away. Doesn't change things, but it helps your burdens. Why? I just can't. Yes, you can let it go. You can stop refusing the comfort. Now, there are other people. It's not just because it's such a hard thing. There are some people that like to live that way, because they just can't accept living a life of joy with this thing going on. Are you following me? I won't continue this journey of life living for God with a smile on my face and comfort in my heart, because this happened and I can't get over that. How do I comfort myself in the Lord? You've got to stop refusing to be comforted, and you've got to accept God's comfort in your life. Number four, Matthew chapter 5. You're in Genesis, get Genesis 18. And since you did so well with those three passages, Judges 19. Genesis 18, Judges 19. You said, "Preacher, everything's great. I don't have no problems." Well, you will. I don't want them for you, but man, we all have needs of comfort. Now, this doesn't sound like something I would say, but I read it in the Bible, so it's got to be true. This wouldn't be what I'd tell somebody to comfort themselves in the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this: "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." How do I comfort myself in the Lord? Just go cry it out. Just go bawl like a baby. Just pour your heart out. Just cry. You know how people explode? They hold everything in. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep. Now, if you do that every day, all day, you got an issue. But get it out. Cry it out. Cry until you can't cry no more. I've been there. I've been in the night hours and been so burdened and I couldn't do anything but sit there and cry. What do you do? Just keep crying. Get it all out. Don't hold it all in. Well, I'm just... No. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, the next one will shock you. Cry it out. And then go get something to eat. How about that? I told you I wouldn't have come up with this pattern, but it sounds good to me. Y'all ever heard of comfort food? How many of you ever heard of comfort food? Well, that's in the Bible. Genesis 18. Watch this now. Genesis 18, verse 5. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts." I'm going to make you a meal. Y'all just take some comfort. Enjoy this good meal here. Comfort your own heart and then go ahead and go on. Judges chapter 19. Why would God put those two things together? Look at me. When you don't have any comfort, you can't eat. I know. Now, that's not a diet you want to get on. The sure way to know if somebody has not had comfort, they just can't eat. And that's not fasting. Fasting is purposeful. Fasting is a decision you make. Fasting is difficult. Fasting is not eating, and you want to eat. But when somebody doesn't have comfort, everything is nauseous. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Give me a witness right there. Well, what do I do? Well, you don't just go eat, because then, you know, when you don't eat and you're nauseous, you go cry it out, and then you go eat. Judges 19, you said, "That sounds weird." Well, I'm doing my best to help you. Judges 19, verse 5. "And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart, and the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law," look at it, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread. Is that in the Bible? And afterward, go your way. Look at verse 8. And he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart, and the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon, and they did what? You know, and I know that's manufactured in a lot of places, but there's comfort in... the testimony is there is a lot of comfort in me eating. I get refreshed. Man, I get blessed. I tell you what, you people that can't enjoy your food, I've met people that just eat just to live. That's not me. You can tell by looking at me. I mean, I get comfort cutting that steak. There's just something that flitters in my heart.
Amen.
I sleep better at night.
Amen.
Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He said in the Bible, comfort your heart and take some bread. He said, preacher, I can't eat. I can't enjoy food. I can't enjoy fellowship. Well, then just go get along with God and pour your heart out and cry and scream and holler at God and say whatever you want to say to God and get it all out. And when you get it all out, go sit down and enjoy a nice meal. That's my advice. How's that for Bible doctrine? Well, let's get another one. Maybe more scriptural. Psalm 119. But I think it is. Comfort your heart with food. Cry it out and then go eat a meal. Psalm 119, and then get Romans chapter 15, and I guess you can get 1 Thessalonians 4 with that too. Comforting myself in the Lord. How do I do that? Well, you got to read your Bible more. And preachers that always go back to that, well, I'm sorry, I guess it does. So how do you know that? Well, I read it in the Bible. Psalm 119, the Bible says this. Would you look at we'll start reading in verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49. It says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Look at your Bible. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I took that Bible, I remembered it, I read it, and it was my comfort. The book. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. That's why the devil tries to steal the Bible away from people. And by the way, I don't even think people can get good comfort from the false versions out there. Get you a King James Bible and stick your nose in it and read it till you feel better. Say, well, I don't feel. Well, do it again. There's power in the Bible. I believe that. It's a spiritual book. The Spirit of God is in these words. In Romans 15, the Bible says, I tell you what, the temptation is when the trouble comes is to withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself from man. Withdraw yourself from God. God says, get your Bible out and read it. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, the Bible says, verse 4. Would you look at it? For whatsoever things were written, he's talking about the Bible. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the what? Of the Scriptures, might have hope. He talks about the God of patience and consolation, you see. One more with that. You know the text, you should. 1 Thessalonians 4, about the coming of our Lord. The Thessalonians had a lot of their brethren that had died and went on. They needed some comfort. So he gave this text about Jesus coming in the clouds. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, at the end of all those words, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The devil will work on you overtime in the midst of trouble to get you away from the Bible. By the way, on that same channel, look at 1 Corinthians 14. The Bible is a source of comfort for your life. Good news always comforts. Haven't you had enough bad news? How many of you have enough bad news? Stick your nose in that book. There ain't no bad news there. Not for you if you love the Lord, because all things work together for good to them that love God. Right? There's good news in that Bible for you if you're saved and you love the Lord. Amen. You want some good news? Start reading it. Amen. Yeah, but all I can think about, yeah, you need to quit that. 1 Corinthians 14, the Bible says in verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and what? The preaching of the Bible brings comfort. Look at verse 31, the same chapter. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be what? Comforted. God wants to comfort you. He'll comfort you through the Word of God, through the preaching of it, through the reading of it. Well, I got to give you number 6. I only got 7. We'll be finished. If I'd have told you that beforehand, you'd have died on number 2. So you've made it. Acts 16, Romans 1, and 1 Thessalonians 5. What do I do to be comforted? Well, remember God's good. There's a purpose for the trouble. Run to your refuge, your anchor, Jesus Christ, and don't give up hope. Quit refusing to be comforted. Cry out to God and then go get something to eat. Read the Bible more. And then this one's also real good for us. Acts chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 40, and they went out of the prison. That's a pretty rough place. And you know, if you look up this text, you know, they've been beaten. You see that verse 37? They beat them. And the brethren had to wash their stripes, verse 33, so it left some bad marks on them. They bloodied up. Verse 40, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they what? They comforted them and departed. Stay with your brethren. Stay around your brethren. Romans chapter 1, look at it. I tell you what, I know how it is. The temptation is just to withdraw. But the comfort's found in getting closer with your brethren that love the Lord. Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, that's why a good church is important. Amen. Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 12, Romans 1 verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. We get comfort together by our mutual faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You say, well, preacher, this person in my life brought me heartache. And these people in my life have brought heartache. Well, get with the people that love you and aren't going to bring you heartache. That are going to pray for you and smile with you and cry with you and rejoice with you and praise God together with you and pray with you. Stay with the brethren. Lastly, John chapter 14 and Acts chapter 9. John 14 and Acts chapter 9. I'll read Acts 9 first. Acts 9 verse 31. Acts 9 31, the Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Were multiplied. You know how this chapter starts? Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples, hauling men and women to prison, making havoc of the church, coming into your house. But the Bible said that they had the comfort of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said to his disciples in verse 16, John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." How? You're going away. 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." A comforter. Y'all know it. We still use that word. You got a comforter on your bed? You know what? When you get sick and you get the flu and all that, you like to get that big comforter on you. You feel like crud. But boy, you want to pull that thing and pull it over top of you. My brother, he's weird. When he gets like that, he gets it all the way over top of him. He looks like a bear in hibernation. Just covers up. When you get cold, that comforter brings such warmth to your heart. Well, if you're saved, inside your body is the third person of the Godhead. And nothing may make sense. And if you'll let him, and if you'll have a good relationship with the Holy Ghost, he'll just wrap his arms around you.
Amen.
And he'll comfort you. May not remove it. May not make you understand everything that's going on. But the comfort of the Holy Ghost will be with you in whatever circumstance, because you're a child of God. And Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless." God, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. You're getting the Holy Ghost so you can have, among other things, the reason he's given is just to comfort your heart. Now, wait a minute. In John 16:7, he says the same thing. He says, "Expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him." Now listen. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I have the Holy Ghost, but I just don't experience that comfort of the Holy Ghost." Well, there's another truth about the Spirit of God and our relationship with the Spirit of God. You got to quit grieving him. If you expect, and we do, and we need, if the Holy Ghost is going to comfort your heart, you can't grieve him and you can't quit him. You need to be filled with the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit brings such comfort. And so few of God's children experience the fullness of the Spirit and therefore miss out on the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That Spirit of God, if you'll walk in that Spirit and be led of that Spirit, you can rejoice in that Spirit, you can sing in that Spirit, you can pray in that Spirit, and you can be comforted by that Spirit. God's real. He's a real God. And he wants to come right down where his children are and comfort their hearts in the midst of every difficult situation. But you have to acknowledge his presence and yield to his Spirit. Be submitted to that Spirit to have that ministry in your life and mind.